Hi, this is Pastor Alamo, World Pastor, with another program for you. This is program number 491. If you'd like a copy of it, after the program, Sharon will tell you how. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're absolutely free, including the postage and handling. If you have tithes and offerings, you're not giving them to us, you're giving them to the Lord. Yeah, people do that so that you can be blessed. All right, I have some Bible reading today. I've got a message, a strong message from the Lord. I've got letters and music. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to pour out His blessings on this service. This radio broadcast, Lord, is reaching thousands and millions of people. People are being turned on to this broadcast because they can feel your Holy Spirit on it. Our witnessing crews in New York just stated that everyone there said they knew me, knew of me, and they're listening to the radio broadcast, and they're receiving salvation. It's wonderful. Father, pour out your Spirit. Your Spirit is in us, but we need, Lord, for you to anoint this message, whatever it is that you want, for me to say to the people in Radio Land, so that their souls can be saved and the church strengthened. But open up everyone's mind, because we need to think you. We have to think the Word in order for us to be saved. People think that the think tank in them is somewhere inside their chest or something, but it's our mind that has to be programmed into the Word of God, which is Spirit, and it is our eternal life. Lord, that you do that, and that souls may save, and this church strengthened in Jesus' mighty name, and everybody says amen.
Amen.
And here I am to sing for you, Mr. DJ. This isn't really my testimony, because I didn't hear of salvation on a radio station, but a lot of people have. And they're being saved from this radio program, but not from disc jockeys. So I was saved by the Lord pouring out His Spirit on me and talking to me audibly in an office. He really exists. So, but here I am to sing somebody's testimony, a lot of people's testimony. It's called Mr. DJ.
Mr. DJ, would you please play that old rugged cross? You know it saved me, and it gave me the hope I thought I'd lost. I was a doubter, a down and outer, drunk and dirty in L.A. And a radio station brought me salvation with a song my mama used to play. Mr. DJ, would you please play that old rugged cross? You know it saved me, and it gave me the hope I thought I'd lost. I heard Jesus was no stranger to the beggar on the street. Gave them more than gold and silver. He gave them something to believe. Mr. DJ, would you please play that old rugged cross? You know it saved me, and it gave me a hope I thought I'd lost. I'm still a mofo, and I still go where those four winds carry me. But I'm not worried, 'cause I know He is walking right along with me. Mr. DJ, would you please play that old rugged cross? You know it saved me, and it gave me
Praise the Lord. Mr. DJ, would you please play that old rugged cross? There's a group that I heard on TV saying, in one of the religious programs, they said, well, we don't use the cross because we believe that Jesus is alive today. Well, the cross tells us that. It's an empty cross. The Catholics have Jesus still nailed to the cross. You see all these different crosses with Jesus nailed on it. That's really a downer to me because, first of all, I believe that Jesus is risen, and I also believe that he's in me. But I also believe that Jesus said for us to carry a cross. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to remember the pit that we were dug out of, and then we also have to remember that we have to carry a cross. Amen. The Bible, Jesus said, now come and follow me. Deny thyself and take up your cross and follow me. So I don't want to, you know, do away with the cross because we have to continue carrying that cross and denying ourselves until the day that the Lord takes us up into the kingdom of heaven or we go out to meet him first. So, you know, this is a rebuke in love to these people that say that sort of thing. They act like they believe more than we do, but if they eliminate the cross, that's very wrong to do. Now the Lord tells about the Vatican. It tells about him in the Bible. It's the city of the Seven Hills. There's a cult there that does real bad things. And there was a television program that I put on my website. And there's people, a huge committee of people that are wondering, what in the world? Why are the Vaticanites getting away with child molestation? Why are the civil authorities not prosecuting them? And it shows on this program, and there's all kinds of very prestigious people that are saying these things. It says they came up with this Judge Anne Duke of the National Review Board that is reviewing all these homosexual child pedophile cases. I'm reading a little bit from that. It's like about a half hour or hour program that we have on our website now that we just took off of the television. What channel was that?
The Net TV.
Yeah, Link Television, okay? And here's one part that's very interesting to me. This is coming from the board, the review board. One of the, it states, quote, one of the interesting pieces that the study found was that it wasn't epidemic in nature. It wasn't one diocese found to have more cases of child rape, pedophile, than another. It was endemic, in which from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast, everywhere in the world, the same percentage of criminal sexual assaults against little children, minors occurred in every diocese. Now this narrator said, but the review board quickly hit problems with its chairman comparing the church's security or secrecy with that of the mafia. And that's what I've always stated, is that that cult is the mafia. And the mafia has a code, you know, where you don't talk. And that's the way, this is the way they saw it, the review board. Then the reporter goes on to say, former Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating has resigned as head of the National Review Board looking into the Catholic Church sex scandal after serving only 1 year in that capacity. The contentious departure followed Keating's interview with the Los Angeles Times where he compared some church leaders to La Casta Nostra, which is the mafia. Now, everybody's saying they're the mafia. In his resignation later, Keating said, quote, to resist grand jury, what they do is they resist grand jury subpoenas to suppress the names of offending clerics and priests. They resist the civil authorities because this cult is such a cult that it calls their leader, and he calls himself God. Now, if you want, no, a cult is a church that calls its leader God. Okay? That's why there isn't anyone that I know of in the whole world that calls himself God bigger than this weasel in the Vatican. Okay, so it goes, the offending clerics, quote, quote, dot, 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 that is the model suppressing the names of these offenders, these ones that have just committed fornication, oral and anal sex with these little children. He says that is the model of a criminal organization, not at all my church. And he just quit. Is that your church? Are you Catholic? Well, if you are, that's your church. That's your God. But my God condemns that sort of thing. All right, we have some letters today, and we have some reports. We just sent out a pretty large crew of witnesses in New York City to distribute literature for the Thanksgiving Day Parade and the Macy Day's Parade. I'd like to say that I did the Macy's jacket for them, and I had it on the back of the jacket. It had the Macy's Day Parade, and everybody at Macy's loved it, and other people, too. They wanted copies of it. And I also, I had a boutique there in Macy's in New York. But so now I'm completely out of that business pretty much, except, you know, when friends want stuff. But jackets or clothing or something like that, I'll do it for them. But they got to pay. All right, we need the money for the gospel. All right, now, so you have a report from that parade?
Yes.
Okay,
I
let's
do.
Hear it. Or not only from the parade, but every day we're on the streets out there.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
While distributing the gospel literature in Manhattan, the responses were unlike any place we've gone before. The name Tony Alamo is well known, and many people say they're listening to you on the radio. Some of them, even still Catholics, say although they don't like to hear negative things about the Catholic religion...
Well, I mean, this you don't like to hear it. Well, how can you stay in a church like that, you should tell these people, when there's so many pedophiles, pedophilia in that church? It's like unbelievable that anyone would belong to a church like that where the priests, and it's worldwide, it's not just local. And they think that they don't have to respond to civil authorities. My God. And they say, well, we don't like what he says about the Catholic church. By our church. Well, why don't you like that to have this cult exposed? Well, do you like these pedophilias, these guys in there that are doing all this, to little boys and girls, 5 years on up to about 11 and 12, whoever they'll come? I mean, bring them old, bring them young, bring them everywhere, any kind. Just bring these little girls and boys to us. And we'll have sex with them. You don't like me saying that, huh? Well, your own, there's so many people in that cult that have are sick of it now, and they've left. Around 20 years ago, they wrote something up on me in their newspaper saying that I cut that church in half. They said back then it used to be 1 billion followers, and now they only have 500 million. And right now, I believe that there's many people. I believe that people primarily are, you know, a lot of people, most people, are decent kind of people, because you see that the media exalts really perverts and everything like that to make it look like that's what's happening everywhere. But a lot of people are not perverted. All right, and I really thank and praise the Lord for that. But anyway, go on with this report from New York City.
They still read everything you write, and they listen to all of your broadcasts.
Okay, so how can they continue going on to with saying they're Catholic? I would be embarrassed, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Like, for instance, the Episcopalian Church has a leader that claims that and says boldly that he's a homosexual. And what's wrong with homosexual? Read the Bible and you'll see. The Bible tells us that homosexuals are, in the first chapter of Romans, that they're worthy to be put to death. And God is going to put them to death, not us, because we don't use carnal weapons or anything. But there's no law in this land any longer. We don't operate under the U.S. Constitution. There's no law. It's a lawless society. And that's how we know that the Antichrist is here, when the lawless one comes. Okay, the lawless one, the Antichrist, is not one person. He happens to be a combination, a corporation of millions of people in one body. They're the embodiment of Satan. Because anyone that would commit that sort of thing and hide it, like the Catholics hid the murder of Abraham Lincoln. And they hide everything that they do. It's like the most clandestine. Well, the media believes that they're the mafia. Amen?
Amen.
La Cosa Nostra. Amen?
Amen.
The Black Hand. The mafia. Du Bois. Du Bois. Okay? Now, I'd be embarrassed to say I was a Catholic. My God, if Nicodemus hid from Jesus because he didn't want to be put out of the synagogue, I would be so ashamed to call myself a Catholic. I would just get out of that church so fast. The Bible tells you that if you see sin in your church, get out. Get out of it. I mean, if the leader is the sinner. Not only is Ratzinger, the Pope, but not only is he corrupt, he admits to hiding these criminals, and he's homosexual himself, just like John Paul II was. And a lot of people took issue with that years ago, and boy, we used to get hundreds of thousands of phone calls when I first said that. Now there's not even one peep. We don't even get one peep when I say that. Anybody out there want a peep? Okay. All right, then what?
It became very evident that the truths that you are boldly preaching are coming through loud and clear. It seemed like everyone knew who you were. As one person said when handed the literature, "Tony Lamo, I have 5 of his jackets. How is he doing?" Another said, "Tony Lamo, does he still have churches in several locations across the United States?"
All over the world, too. Then what?
They asked, "How is he doing?" Police officers took the literature readily, some saying, "I haven't read this one yet." Jews were taking the literature and reading it and wanting to know more. Another lady from Los Angeles said that she sees people distributing Pastor Lamo's literature on Hollywood Boulevard and taking people to church. She said, "God bless you." Many people were astounded to see true Christians out in the streets distributing gospel literature while everyone is out celebrating.
Yeah, and people on the streets selling narcotics and drugs, selling sex, tickets to skin flicks and to snuff flicks, and all these different things, and our people out there preaching Jesus is coming back to earth again. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what a lot of people hate. But whether you hate it or not, I'm going to keep doing it, because that's the only way. The Lord said if I stopped doing it, I'd go to the same hell they're going to. Okay, then what else?
One minister who has a church in Missouri was so taken back to see us out in the streets with young people distributing gospel literature, they said it was an inspiration to them and that they would be contacting the church to order literature to distribute. A man from India was filming a couple of the sisters as they handed out the literature. He said he teaches in Massachusetts and wanted to get literature to take back with him when he goes back to Hyderabad in February. Another man wanted a picture of one of the groups handing out literature, saying it was an inspiration to all veterans to see people, especially young people, on the streets distributing such powerful messages.
Now, that's what I'd like to have our people do, is to take some pictures of our people. Some of them are very young out there, too. Like, how long is Alexis? What?
10
years old out there distributing literature. What is your 10-year-old kid doing? This isn't my child. It's Mr. Broderick, Mr. and Mrs. Broderick's child. But that's just, you know, I told her I didn't think that she could go because it's pretty tough in New York. And she started crying and crying. And I just kind of, I said, all right, go already. Okay, then what else?
We saw people getting their pictures taken in front of famous landmarks holding the gospel literature up. Others you could hear commenting as we passed by on the good work being done. There were people there from other countries that we know of, England and Austria, that were interested in the literature and wanted to know more. Many you could see walking down the street reading the literature. Bus drivers and subway train operators allowed us to get on and give the literature to each passenger and to leave them on the seats for passengers coming. An old man that looked like he was dying soon was witnessed to and said the sinner's prayer with tears streaming down his face. He said it was so surprising to see young people from this ministry trained by you preaching such truths. Many asked for the address of where we hold services and asked eagerly if we had a church in their area, to name a few, Maryland, Ohio, and Missouri. The work of God through Tony Lamo has left a lasting impression in New York. It has been an exciting experience for all of us. Praise the Lord. We are all thankful to be able to be a part of it.
Praise the Lord. And I just want to add, you know, somebody said they had 5 jackets. This is for the benefit of the Internal Revenue Service. If I sell jackets, I don't sell them as though they're coming from the church. It would be a separate business that I use, and I would definitely pay my taxes on that in case you guys' hearts are beating a little bit faster than normal and you're getting all excited, okay? So back off, you know, simmer down. You get your taxes, okay? What else?
That was the end of that.
Okay, what else?
Then we have a question for you from a man named Tommy.
Okay.
He said, I'm sending you this email that was written to me because I was talking about how God instantly healed me of my marijuana habit when I got saved. I would like to hear what you say so I can answer this person. Thank you, Tommy. And the email that was sent to him says, my doctor prescribes THC for my depression, and it really does work. My mom and dad were butchered right in front of me, and then those people thought they had killed me too, only I lived. I cannot take the chemicals the doctors give me, so they tried THC, and it helped me to mellow out and daily.
THC is like smoking pot, right?
Right.
Now, we come, like, Susie, my wife, that we started this ministry together 43 years ago. She never took, she didn't even, no, she doesn't take any aspirin even. She didn't take any drugs whatsoever when she had cancer. I don't take drugs. I don't even take an aspirin either, all right? And so, go ahead.
Do you think
But our whole ministry was to the drug addicts, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to be a former drug addict to be in the drug ministry. And also, you don't have to be a former prostitute to win prostitutes, because I've won a lot of prostitutes, as so has Susie. But we don't have to be any kind of anything like that. We can win souls just by preaching the gospel, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't believe in a kids ministry and an adult ministry and all this kind of stuff. And I don't believe in dancing around, you know, like it's not in the spirit, because it's, you can tell they're thoroughly rehearsed, like they do on television. They got this rap music just going away, you know, and all this jungle music behind them. I don't believe in all that stuff, okay? I believe in softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And, you know, I'll walk with God. And I believe that the Spirit of the Lord doesn't like this rap jungle music. I've never heard anybody ever saved from it. They may get together because they like rock and roll or rap or this other kind of this type of music, and they say, oh, praise the Lord, because they love that music. They're there for the music. Like Jesus said, a lot of the people weren't there because they wanted to get the word of God. They were there because they wanted to eat the food. They saw him breaking a few loaves of bread and some fishes and had given it to his disciples, and they gave it to the multitude, because Christians are givers, not rippers, offers, okay, like you see so many ministries today. But go ahead, go on.
Do you think that I am evil because I eat pot?
Well, because you eat pot? The Lord says you're to eat his flesh and drink his blood. Amen?
Amen.
That means to eat the word of God and drink the Spirit. And I have glaucoma. I'm legally blind. I could actually go down and get marijuana, cigarettes, or this kind of stuff that he's taken. But I wouldn't dare do that, because what would you care what I thought about it? Do I think you're evil? Why don't you ask, do you think God thinks that it's evil? It's obvious your mind is not centered on the Lord, young man. And, you know, if your mind is set on the Lord, by my stripes ye are healed. You're healed. All right? And so you don't need pot, because the Lord healed you. But you do need more faith. You need faith, and you need to receive the things that the Lord said that he did for you. And he said he healed you, so receive it in the name of Jesus. Then what else?
Please let me know, because I really look to you. Thank you, brother. Love you. And the full armor of God, it fits.
Okay. Well, don't be looking to Tommy. To Tommy, don't look to me. Look to the Word of God. The Word of God says, yes, he says, no drunkard shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And we're not to trust in anything other than the Word, all right? The Word. Do you believe Jesus healed you?
Amen.
Okay. Do you?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Absolutely, he's healed. And it's just a joy to know that. The doctor said that I had a 90% blockage on one side of my chest, and they said, we have to open you up. This is over 3 years ago, folks. And just the other day, I was pressing 800 pounds with my legs, and not like Pat Robertson does. He just he pushes it up 1 inch like he's trying to build up his ankles. But I go all the way down with it and push it up. Let's see him do that with 1,000. I can do that with 1,000 or 1,250 pounds. All right? My face will turn purple, but I can do it. Okay? And many people have seen me do it. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, then what else? And so I also do all kinds of exercises. We have a gymnasium here. It's a full gym, and everybody that wants to can use it. Okay, what else?
In the next letter, from Uganda, Africa. Dear brother, Pastor Tony Lamo, receive greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our soon returning King and our Lord. Pastor and your team, I want to express my gratitude and thanks for the work you are doing to accomplish God's will in the world. I and my team are praying that the living God will continue to empower you all in Jesus' name. Pastor, the issue of this letter is, I deeply appreciate the 6 Bibles, 13 books entitled The Messiah According to Bible Prophecy, and the World Newsletters which I received. This has been a tremendous help to my ministry in this country, and it has helped us to reach people in our vicinity with the gospel.
What country is that again?
Uganda, Africa.
Okay, then what?
Souls are now coming into the churches, and I believe that your ministry of Christ is a mighty tool that God is using in his vineyard in these last days. God bless you richly, Pastor. Brother, I appreciate your prayers, and we will continue to be steadfast, immovable, always abounded in the work of the Lord. For inasmuch as our work is in the Lord, it is not in vain, but God has given us the victory. Pastor, I request you to send me the enclosed list of t-shirts and sweatshirts for my team. Also send more Bibles, because there are other Christians in the church who are in need of them, as well as more books of the Messiah according to Bible prophecy, and more world newsletters. Brother, thanks a lot for what you are doing for God's people in the world. Warm regards to you and to all the body of Christ. To God be the glory and honor forever, in Jesus his Son. Yours sincerely, Pastor Alfred from Uganda, Africa.
Okay, yeah, we received three trailers, 18-wheeler type trailers, full of brand new Bibles that I had printed. Now, this is the second instruction. I like to instruct people because what I'm doing now is a series of messages in regard to how to recognize the different ways that Satan attacks people. And this one here is the second instruction, which is to provide yourself with scriptural answers to Satan's false reasonings, his false accusations, his false doctrines. We're not to go according to Satan's reasonings. Amen?
Amen.
Because the reason that we follow the Lord is because we want to be provided with a place to live eternally that isn't burning. Amen?
Amen.
So, I want to give you scriptural answers to all the different false accusations and false reasonings and false doctrines that Satan tells you and that you hear. So a lot of times people, they follow after your example. Okay? And a lot of people decide to do what they see satanic people do. Now, you know, and they think that it's all right then, and they don't blush when they do that openly. For instance, like if everyone in the world or in a whole town took their clothes off, no one would blush, right? Because they just say, well, everybody does it, amen? But the Lord's provided clothing for Adam and Eve by killing a beast and wrapped them in this clothing. He wrapped them in death. Adam and Eve never thought that those animals would die or that God would kill them to give them some kind of clothing to wear to cover them up. But the Lord told them that in that day that you commit crime here, you disobey my word, and that is crime, the worst crime that you could commit, he wrapped them in death. They saw those little animals, the sheep, and he cut them open and wrapped them. In other words, as if to say, now my son, my only begotten son, is going to have to come to the world, the Lamb of God, and you have to have his clothing on in order to make it into the kingdom of heaven and to be able to operate in the Garden of Eden while you're here on earth. Now, the Garden of Eden is guarded by these flaming swords. And the flaming swords, you can't get to the Tree of Life until you know and believe that Jesus is the Tree of Life, which is the Word of God. So you can eat from the Tree of Life in this world. If you accept Christ, you can then understand the Bible. Scriptures are opened unto you, and you can understand them. But the Bible says that the wicked do not understand. The carnal people don't understand the Word of God. But the book of Daniel says that the righteous people will understand. Those that give their hearts to the Lord accept him into their hearts. And then the Bible scriptures are open unto them. And you can see eye to eye with God. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Okay, so this is the number two instruction, which is to provide yourself with several. I'm going to bring up several, many different scriptural, out of the Word of God, answers to the different things that Satan has made you swallow. His false reasonings that many people have received, which are his heresies. Satan is a heretic. He's on his way to hell. He's a heretic. And his people are heretics too. Can you imagine that man in Rome saying that he's God? And how you could belong to such a cult? That is a cult. When a person says that their leader is God, and the leader says he's God too, that's a cult. So when people call you a cult, I know that there's a lot of church leaders and pastors saying that they've been called a cult. Because that's the one that's doing that is the media, which is the mouth of Satan. And that's why I'm bringing these spiritual answers that you can answer Satan's false accusations, his reasonings, his heresies. This one puts excellent color. I mean, the media is painting a picture with words. As a matter of fact, the Vatican says we can destroy everybody with words. Because actually what we're doing is the Battle of Armageddon is a war of words. Goebbels, Hitler's henchman, his propaganda minister, stated that words are better than bullets and bombs. Words are better than bullets and bombs. So, because the words that Satan says, the heresies which he preaches and teaches, puts a very beautiful color, a fair color. When there's a beautiful woman, they say, that's a fair, she's fair. To me, I mean, you're either a cheat or you're fair in business, amen? Mm-hmm. But they say, that's a fair-headed little boy, a fair-headed little girl, or a fair-looking woman, or a fair-looking man. Or a fair-looking horse. That means a beautiful-looking horse. Or a cow, or whatever. So Satan puts a fair color on all these false accusations, on his foul notions or his reasonings. The reason for it is so that he can better to gain your consent to sin. Getting naked in front of everybody, everybody's doing it. Everybody's committing adultery, everybody's committing fornication, everybody's committing first-degree murder, abortions. So, he wants you to consent to that too. Even though God's Word tells you that that isn't true, that isn't right. Okay, so that's why we have to receive instruction to keep yourself from that sort of thing. So, this is the instruction that is the Word of God, which is the double-edged sword, which is the weapon you use to defend yourself against Satan. To provide yourself with spiritual answers to the devil, to Satan's false reasonings. Amen?
Amen.
His heresies, these words that he uses, puts a very fair color, a beautiful color, and a gloss on all his foul reasonings or notions. This is the reason he does that. It's the better to gain your consent to do these things. Satan colors sin beautifully in order to cause you to sin. Now the Bible states that Satan is wily, like the Vatican. They're like very secretive. They're like the mafia. They don't, and they hide things and shift things around. You would say, well, I was born a Catholic and I'll always be a Catholic. Some people say, oh, it's a Jew. I'm a Jew, but I'm not going to. I believe in the New Testament as well. If you really know the Old Testament, well, then you'd have to believe the New Testament because it tells all the things that are going to happen in the New Testament, the New Covenant, the New Deal from God. So, Satan's wily, and that's why you have to be wary. The Lord said, watch out, because this is for your soul. This is where you're going to spend eternity. It is not only, it is not only beautifies, he not only beautifies the sinful object, but he also sets a beautiful gloss upon it and urges the soul with arguments in order to embrace his offers. Why, Jesus, if you'll just bow down before me, I want to set you on this pinnacle over here and show you the entire world. You're going to get all the finances in the world. You're going to get everything. You like females? Why, you have your pick of the crop. You like food, eat whatever you want. You'll be able to have anything. God is going to make you fast. You don't want that. This is, you're only going to live once. You know, enjoy the luxury. He, like he says, he puts a very beautiful gloss upon sin and urges your soul with all sorts of arguments to embrace his offer. And when sin comes thus forth, like a huge giant, a Goliath-like way, you're not going to be able to use an armor like Saul's armor, but the smooth stones of the brook that defeated this giant. It's not your own resolution. You can't have your own ideas or resolutions, but the divinity of Scripture is the only thing that is able to argue against Satan. The only thing that is able to preserve your soul or that is able to prostrate your enemy, the devil. Now, this is lessons for you to defend yourself. Now, you will find in the Word an answer that God will put into your mouth to quench every one of Satan's darts, his sophisticated darts. It goes way over your head, and therefore that's why you need God's reasonings, his Word, to defend yourself. You need the double-edged sword. And this, indeed, is to be in Apollos. You heard of Paul and Apollos, amen?
Amen.
Who was mighty, quote, mighty in the Scriptures, unquote. We are definitely able to stop the devil's mouth and choke his darts or his bullets with a word in season and out of season. Seasonally interposed between us and the temptation. It will not therefore be amiss to give a few installations of instances. I'd like to give you a few instances here whereby these instructions may be made more easily practicable in the hand of some of you weaker Christians out there. The first one is sometimes Satan influences himself into a soul. He causes you to believe what he says into your soul, and you receive it by endeavoring to make one sin appear of no account, no big deal. This they do on television all the time and in books, magazines. Now, secondly, by giving an opportunity of committing a sin in secret. You know, like a lot of people think that they could commit sins in secret, No one sees them, and so nobody's going to be the wiser. Amen? What happens behind closed doors? Amen? And third, by the example of others. You want to follow the example of others. Why, they're all doing it, so why can't I? Satan attempts for his reason, and actually Satan will put people in your church, and you'll see them doing everything, and they act like they're really prospering, and only they know that they have cancer of the colon. They put all kinds of makeup on, and they're driving a big car, and they've got cancer in their breast, they've got all kinds of things wrong with them. Satan attempts for his reasons. That is insane reasonings to make you sin by making one sin seem of no account. That, you know, the soul that sins shall surely die. And the Lord says if you commit one sin, you've broken the law, because the law is one law. And if you break any of that one law, then you've broken them all. Amen? According to God. Like you've got a water tank up above your property and it's holding all the water. And you don't blast it everywhere, but you put a big hole in it. That one hole can empty that whole water tank. Amen?
Yeah.
Or you put a good size hole in your gas tank. That's only one hole. It's not peppered throughout, but that one hole, you won't have any gas in there long. So the devil wants you to believe that if you commit one sin, then it's no big deal, no account. For instance, Satan thus insinuates himself into your soul. Quote, what man will one sin, if yielded to it, so much? Unquote. What sin? What man will do one sin and yield to it? And say, it's not going to do so much. One mole. You know, moles are blind, right? Blind as a mole. One mole does not mar the beauty of the face, nor can one sin spoil the beauty of your soul. Well, a mole can't see your face. Okay? And a sin, the soul that sins, it doesn't matter. You commit one sin, you've broken all. This is the argument the devil gives you. Yet it is so more than I am telling you. It's so much more that I am suitor for such a thing. If I, instructed to wallow in every puddle, you might well abhor the notion. But why are you so afraid of one spot being seen on your garments? Why aren't you afraid of that? Quote, the best jewel has its flaw, and the holiest saint his falling and failing, if you let one sin come in. Because the Lord says, if you sin on your soul, that's what they say is, quote, or no one is perfect. So that's the Satan's con job, to make you think that it's cool to sin. Now, to ruffle this notion that no one is perfect, and modestly proposed one, this is the answer. The Word will tell you that no sin goes as a single sin. Notice, in other words, it's not a single sin. You break one and you've broken all the ten. It's impossible to embrace or allow one sin and be free of others. You cannot commit one sin and be free of you commit no adultery, but you commit murder, first degree murder, abortion. you've broken the entire law, because you broke, if you abort your child, then you've also committed murder and probably fornication in order to have that happen. Number one, he that yields to one sin casts contempt upon the authority that made the entire law, and upon this account breaks everything. He breaks it all. Quote, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of everything, of all. That's James 2:10. He gives the reason in the next words. Quote, for he who said, do not commit adultery and also do not murder. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you murder, thou art a transgressor of the entire law. Unquote. Not that he is guilty of all distribution, but collectively as Estes will not notes, or what he is definitely tells us. Now, for the law is more copulative. It's a combination. It's a corporation. One commandment cannot be wronged unless all are interested in the same. As the entire body suffers a wound given to any part of the body. In other words, if somebody smashes my toe with a hammer, my whole body's going to suffer. Amen?
Amen?
My brain, my eyes are going to bulge out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yours too. Quote, God speaks all these words, unquote. Exodus 20. They are 10 words, 10 laws, but it's all one law. The scriptures don't lie. All right, my time is up. And I have to attempt now to see, to pray you through. Because the Bible says you must be born again. This is what Jesus said. Yeah, there's no other way you can break that down. You must be born again of water and of spirit. Amen?
Amen?
Born again of the spirit and water. So, born again of the spirit, how do I do that, Jesus? Just say this prayer after me. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Therefore, I know that you have heard me. I know that you have answered me. You said that anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now, praise and thank the Lord. Praise and thank him now. And Sharon, tell the people in Radioland how they can receive a copy of this program, number 491. It's absolutely free. Please specify CD or audio tape.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying God bless you and praise the Lord. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for another program that leads to heaven. Now here I am to sing for you. Nancy and Frank Sinatra's publishing company, they asked me to sing this. Billy Strange did, and this is called Sunday School to Broadway.
Well, she used to stand
clap her hands and sing Amazing Grace, while the tears of childhood innocence were rolling down her face. Mama prayed at night and raised her right hand, thought she knew the way, but it's a long, long way from Sunday school to where she is today. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing the sinner's song, it's hoping to find your way back home. But it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Sunday evening's fair in a gospel tent down on her bended knees. There she gave a soul to Jesus, and he set her spirit free. But the cold night air out on Times Square, it put she felt back home. And it's a long, long way from Sunday school to New York now to love. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner song, it's hard you'll find your way back home. Cause it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Then her eyes grew bright in the cold, dark night, and a halo framed her face. And a passerby swore he heard her cry, did he hear Amazing Grace? They couldn't see the man who took her hand as she lay there in the street. And it's a long, long way from Broadway to a place at the master's feet. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. It's a long, long way from Sunday.